Kyler Merrill had the opportunity to go with the group over to Haiti. Many of you know Kyle, you know the Merrill family, and we're thankful that he had that opportunity. We know that you as a congregation were able to help him a little bit with that. And that's kind of what tonight is for him to give a report on that trip to us. And we appreciate Kyler being with us. And we'll just go ahead and allow Kyler to come on up and give us a report.
So first, I just want to say thank you for letting me go. Even though I'm the one Merrill member who's never here, and you still paid for me to get out of the country. So I guess you wanted to be farther away from me than you already were. But just thank you to everyone who paid individually and for the congregation as a whole. It meant a lot to me, and I assume it meant a lot to my family as well to know that you care enough about them and about us to donate money for me to just go off to another country and have fun. And so first I'm going to go ahead and have Trace play this, which our college minister put together, and then I'll explain to you what I did. So.
Praise him, you heavens and all that's above. Praise him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him. Praise him, the sun, moon, and bright shining stars. Praise him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the whole earth praise him. Great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, King of heaven. Praise him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him. Praise him, the sun, moon, and bright shining stars. Praise him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the whole earth praise him. Great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, King of heaven, great in battle, great in wonder, great in Zion, King over all the earth, great in battle.
We magnify your holy name, all for your glory. Lord, we bring blessing. We seek to honor you all of our days. We lift our hands. We lift our prayers. To you, we worship all you are in spirit and truth. We give our hearts, we lift our lives to you. We offer all we are for the glory of you, Almighty Father. We are your children. You have been faithful to your own. have been chosen. We lay down all we have here at your throne, and we lift our hands, we lift our praise to you. We worship all you are in spirit and truth. We give our hearts, we lift our lives to you. We offer all we are, we offer all we have, we offer all our lives for the glory of you. Lord, you are greater than my heart. You see everything in me. Lord, you are greater than my heart. You know everything in me. And when I doubt your love, you are faithful. When I forget your grace, you remind me. And when I lose my way, you will find me. Oh Lord, my Savior and my God, set my heart at rest in your presence, oh Lord. Set my heart at rest, set my heart at rest. Greater than my heart. You see everything in me. Lord, you are greater than my heart. You know everything in me. And when I doubt your love, you are faithful. When I forget your grace, you remind me. And when I lose my way, you will find me. Oh Lord, my Savior and my God. Oh Lord, my Savior and my God.
Set the stars in their place. You who calm the raging seas that came crashing over me. Who compares to you? You who bring the morning light, the hope of all the earth, is rest assured in your great love.
You are magnificent, eternally wonderful, glorious Jesus. No
songs of joy, and as the morning wakes, we your children give you praise.
You are magnificent, eternally wonderful, glorious. eternally wonderful, glorious Jesus. No one ever will compare to you, Jesus. No one ever will compare to you, Jesus.
So that probably didn't really mean a lot to a lot of you, but I'll kind of explain some of the things that we did there. We went and every morning in we went and stayed at a preaching school, and which Southwest, where I go to school, which they support, and every morning we had to go to chapel, and it was always led by one of the students. And one of the things that stood out to a lot of us is that the students there, the preaching students, a lot of them, they quit their jobs in order to go there to attend preaching school. And after they would graduate, they would go on and have to get another job. And one of the members, his parents had recently died, and so he had to support his brother and sister while going to the school. And it's a big task, and it's a lot for them to do. And on the one thing that we noticed is that they all had one outfit for school. Like, they all had to dress nice. They had to wear a shirt and a tie and some nice pants, and that was the one thing they had. So they washed it every night. And that's what they were wearing to church every morning, to chapel, and they would, and the thing, and on Sundays they would all go to various congregations around to preach, and they would go by bus, by the motorcycle taxis, they call them tap-taps, or by foot, and they were going hours away to preach the gospel to other people in the country, and their faith was a lot for us. Like, it was amazing to see. And they all the students really, they really cared about our stories, like our salvation stories and like our families. They were always asking, how are your families? Are they all Christians? How is it back home? Do you have friends? What are you doing to spread the gospel? And they really genuinely cared about it. And what they really wanted to do was spread the word to as many people as they could. They just wanted to touch as many people as they could with the gospel, and that was their goal. And the faith that I think that it took for all of that was amazing. And I don't know if you guys saw, but in the we went to church, and the Sunday morning when we went to church, they all go around, and after the opening prayer they'll go and you talk to every person there. You meet them, you shake their hand, you say hi to every single person that's there. And everyone does it, not just us, because we're visitors. Everyone was there, was doing it as well. And it was a nice thing to see that even over there, because, I mean, over here we know that the church has a lot of sense of community, and over there that was a lot of that. But as far as, and then at night they had one light bulb in their church building. That's all they had to see by. And like you could see in the presentation, one of the guy leading songs, he had a flashlight on his table, and then there was one light that was in the middle of the room, and it was lighting up everything, and that's all they had. And for them, that was normal. That was good enough. And then after we left that Sunday night, we noticed children like Caleb's age here walking for 20, 30 minutes, just in groups of two or three, in the dark to come back from church. Because that's just what they did. That's just what they did. It was expected of them to go to church and they obviously cared enough, because it's not like they were getting a meal out of it or anything like that, because they went to church and they went home. But they were walking in the pitch black for 30 minutes because there's no streetlights or anything like that. But it was a lot to see. But just some more of the, you know, not less church stuff was we cut down a couple trees. That was with a big project that we did. They're probably 60, 70 feet tall. We brought a chainsaw down with us and we cut it down. One of our guys climbed up to the, like, probably 20 feet below the top and cut it. We tied the chainsaw to a rope and got it up to him, and he cut it down. And we did it while his wife wasn't there, because she came with us too, but we made sure to do it when she was gone and before she got back. And so we cut down a couple trees that way and had to cut them all up and put them in different piles so they could send them. They're actually going to sell it to a bakery that so they could use it for firewood. But we cut down trees, and we also repaired a tin roof. It was used to be a, I'm not sure what exactly it was, but it wasn't metal. And we had to take all the old roof off and put a brand new one on, and that was hot because down there it's blazing hot, and we were supposed to wear pants, and like girls, they all have to wear skirts. No, we couldn't wear shorts unless we were playing soccer, but which we did, and we got killed. A couple times they gave us the ball, like literally kicked us the ball, and then we still got destroyed. It's bad. They play soccer all the time, but it was embarrassing. But and then we went to a small school and a small congregation that was probably, I don't know if you're familiar with the geography of Haiti, but it's on the island of Hispaniola, and half of it's Haiti, half of it's Dominican Republic. And we're probably on the west side of it, northwest-ish, and we went probably 3 or 4 hours to almost the Dominican border to this little town, congregation, and school there. And my major is education, and so, you know, especially with Oklahoma going through all the education stuff we got right now, it was crazy to see that the classrooms held 20, 30 kids and were probably barely any bigger than the classrooms we have down there. And they're holding 20, 30 kids, no textbooks, nothing like that. It's just, like, we talk about how we don't have any funding, but they have jack compared to us, and they're doing just fine. But then also at the same place, there was these houses with, we got to see two older couples, and they both have lived there since, I think, the 40s or 50s, and it was just a small one-room hut, and they had, one of them had a turkey, that was their prized possession, living in their house, and it just walked out, and it scared the life out of me, but that's all they had, it was just this small house, but they were extremely, extremely devout, and they really, I say it a lot, but they really cared about the gospel and Christianity. We also got to spend time in an orphanage. This is one of the places that Southwest supports, and there we just spent most of the day playing with kids, and that was an amazing time. And it's sad, I mean, going to anything like that with kids who don't have families, or parents have either abandoned them or they just couldn't afford them, or for whatever reason, that's always a sad thing, but especially there where they don't really have as many opportunities to move up as, you know, we have here. And I say that as a very privileged person, but I mean, there's still more opportunity here. That's why America is a land of opportunity. And we also got to go to a widow's home, which is basically similar to an old folks home, but it's for people who can't take care of themselves hardly at all. Like some of them are being fed. And so what we did was we went there and we put lotion on every single person there. And we stopped and we said, hey, can I put lotion on you? And we did. And there, one of the things that stuck out to me was there's this old man and he was speaking Haitian Creole, so none of us understood a lick of what he said, but he's over there just talking away, and he's pointing at, one of the guys came with us, pointing at his wedding ring and all this other stuff, and like I said, we didn't know anything's going on, so finally we got our minister, we said, David, come here and translate for us, and he's over there talking to us about Jesus and talking to us about all these things that he's done in his life and all these, like how he's had this long, great life, and it wouldn't be the same without Christianity, and like he was talking about his wife and all these other things. And I think that might be something that I could take to heart, is that those kind of lessons come from places you don't expect, and maybe it might be a good idea to actually listen to my elders for once, but because sometimes they might have something worth listening to. But and that's pretty much all we did. We went to this old fort that had been there since the 1400s, and that was interesting, but I mean, it didn't really do anything for, you know, purposes that we were there. It was more for fun. But it was a great experience, and again, I just want to say thank you, because it meant a lot. I can't say that enough, how much it meant to me, to be able to go on a trip like that and experience things. And I've been to India before and seen similar conditions, but now that I'm a Christian, it's different, and it's being able to see the world through that lens was a big deal. And so the two things that I felt like I needed to kind of add a sort of a scripture to this. And so the two things that I thought of were Hebrews 11, which, you know, through faith Adam and through faith Abraham and all those other people. And it's, for me, it's through, by faith, those kids in Haiti walked to church in the dark by themselves with their one outfit on. And by faith, that's what all those people did, because they had faith. And the other one was James 2:24, faith without works is dead. Because they didn't just have faith, they didn't just go to church, they were out there living it. They were walking a mile uphill both ways to go to church every Sunday with no complaint, because that's just what they did. And so, yeah, just thank you. Yes.
I suppose a college student, spring break has a lot of options, a lot of places he or she could go. And Haiti's probably not the number one choice by most college students. And Kyle, we just want you to know we're proud of you and thankful that you were able to go on that trip. Thankful that we could maybe help a little bit. But most of all, I appreciate your desire to serve the Lord. And thank you for presenting, giving that presentation tonight to us. No, I think the church in Haiti, or the church in Ada, has been a part of that work, I think, for a lot of years, and they've helped support that work, the homes, both, I know for sure, the orphan's home, and maybe even also the widow's home, but thank you for sharing that with us tonight. So, I just want to share a passage. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 for a minute. And we'll sing an invitation song together. And Philippians chapter 2. And let's just read 14. Actually, let's back up in 12. We're going to read 12 through 16. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Paul writing to Christians in Philippi. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. You know, as you look at that passage, a lot of people would say that's part of maybe the requirements of a Christian, or how a Christian should live and some things that a Christian should do, practical things. I just want us to think about two things that Paul mentions here as he writes to these Philippians. And it's all part of salvation, as he says, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. That it's not that salvation is a one-time thing in our life, but it's really a spiritual maturity, and it's working out, completing your salvation. We continue to grow as we live our lives on this earth. But I want you to notice what he says in verse 15, shining as lights in the world. He's talking about being blameless. And sometimes we think our world is evil and dark and there's no hope, but it's not. It's always been like that, hasn't it? And yet, as God's people, we're to shine as lights in that world. And that's part of what we do as the people of God, whether it's here, whether it's Haiti, whether it's on a college campus, whether it's at our work, wherever we're at, we're to shine as lights in the world, or some versions say stars in the world. And it's in the midst of a dark world. But the second thing that I want us to think about is verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And Paul is speaking specifically to these Philippians, and that he wants them to continue to work out their salvation, to continue to hold fast to the word of life. to the message maybe that Paul has taught them, or the message they've heard, and to continue in that. And so our purpose as the people of God, wherever we're at, to shine as lights in a dark world and hold fast or hold forth that word of life. And in many ways, I think that's what their group did as they went to Haiti and shine the light of Christ and loving and sharing the gospel and taking the time to do that. And that's what you and I are to do as God's people right here in Sayre or Elk City or Sweetwater or wherever we may live, to daily be the light and to daily hold forth the word of life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, but you'd like to become a Christian, repent and be baptized, and the Lord add you to his church. Or maybe you're here tonight and you just need prayers. We don't have to offer the invitation tonight, but it's something we've done as a tradition. I think it's something we need to do. But you need to understand also that the invitation is always open, not just on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or a Wednesday. The invitation to follow the Lord, to draw near to him, is always there. If we can help you do that tonight, won't you come as we stand and we sing?